This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Retail exuberance took a pause midsummer. I'm David Brancaccio. There's word today retail sales fell by much more than expected in July. A decline of 1.1%. Is the recovery losing steam in the face of the fastest spread version of the coronavirus? Let's consult economist David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Welcome.
Good morning.
Striking headline here. I mean, retail sales down that much in July. Should we really worry?
Not too much. I mean, I think you have to dig a little bit into the details here, and you'll see that both the May and June numbers were revised up pretty strongly. So actually, we think that's going to push up estimates of second quarter GDP. But the other thing is to recognize just how high retail sales are. I mean, retail sales are up 16% from 1 year ago, but they're up 19% from 2 years ago. So these are very, very high levels of retail sales. And I think consumers can be excused for taking a little bit of a breather here.
But you don't think there's some information contained in this July report about how consumers are processing the threat of the Delta variant of coronavirus?
I think there are some signs of weakness in certain areas here. And there are other things, you know, things like auto sales are down because, frankly, there's no inventory because of a chip shortage. But overall, I think if you look at restaurant sales, they were up 1.7%. So what I think is happening is, yes, the Delta variant is slowing the reopening process, but really it's not ending it. I still think we'll see strong consumer spending growth through the end of this year.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds. Thank you so much.
Anytime.
Turning to China, the key index in Shanghai fell 2.1% today. Shares in China-based internet companies fell after China's market regulator moved to further tighten control over its technology sector, with Alibaba, Tencent, and JD.com closing the day in Hong Kong between 4 and 5% lower. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak is in Shanghai.
The draft rules would ban internet firms from things like exploiting user data by learning how customers behave or influence them to not choose a competitor's products or services. It would also ban widespread marketing practices online, like fake reviews, or giving customers coupons and cash incentives if they give positive reviews. Tech giants are also not allowed to limit traffic to other platforms. Like right now, if you send an Alibaba link to a friend on WeChat, the link doesn't open within WeChat. These are tactics which have irked or angered users for a while. The draft rules are open to public feedback for the next month. It's part of an ongoing move by the Chinese authorities to limit behavior by internet giants that the Communist Party considers damaging to social stability and national security. Already, tech giants like Alibaba and Tencent have been heavily fined for anti-monopoly practices. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
We could get a directive from the Biden administration in the coming days urging fully vaccinated people who got Moderna or Pfizer vaccine to get booster shots. U.S. health officials have already recommended immunocompromised and vulnerable populations get the boosters. But if this all happens, who and when? Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
Health officials are poised to recommend booster shots for those who are 8 months past their second dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. Officials are awaiting more data before deciding on boosters for the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Francis Collins, the director of the National Institutes of Health, told Fox News Sunday that officials are monitoring changing COVID trends.
There is a concern that the vaccine may start to wane in its effectiveness over months. And Delta is a nasty one for us to try to deal with. The combination of those two means we may need boosters, maybe beginning first with healthcare providers, as well as people in nursing homes, and then gradually moving forward.
Seniors could also be among the first on the list. The CDC recommends boosters should be from the same vaccine as the initial doses, but officials say you can mix and match if necessary. The administration of booster shots could start as early as mid-September, and the U.S. has secured additional supply to meet the need. Earlier this summer, officials bought 200 million additional doses of both Moderna's and Pfizer's vaccines. That is, the World Health Organization urged wealthier nations to refrain from boosters until people in the developing world can get their first shots. I'm Novosavo for Marketplace.
Today, we talked to a political risk consultant on the dire prospects for Afghanistan's economy, despite expected support from, for instance, Beijing. The country, dependent on agriculture, was already enveloped by a severe drought. That'll be in our podcast, if you miss it on the air. And the UN Secretary General says he's already getting reports of new human rights violations in Afghanistan, especially targeting women and girls. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has some context.
When it comes to women's freedom to participate in society and the economy, people who've been observing the Taliban aren't optimistic.
The Taliban are no friends of girls and women, and for many years, they really had control over the country. Girls' education and women's education was forbidden.
Rebecca Winthrop co-directs the Center for Universal Education at the Brookings Institution, and she helped get Afghan girls into new government schools after the Taliban fell in 2001. She says the U.S. has invested more than $700 million in girls' and women's education, and attendance has increased. So has Afghan women's participation in the labor force, up from 15% to nearly 22%. But where the Taliban have taken control in recent years,
we were seeing girls not being able to go past seventh grade, which is when they hit puberty. Bombings of girls' schools, targeting female teachers.
In the big cities, many women have gone to university and entered business, government, academia, and the media. And now?
They are literally finding safe houses where they can hide.
Alyssa Lise Munoz directs the International Women's Media Foundation, which trains women journalists in Afghanistan. She doubts most of them will be able to keep working.
And it's not just their livelihood, but it's the reporting that they would have done. Who is covering maternal health? Who has access to speak to half of the population?
The Taliban may still find it challenging to reimpose repressive religious rule across the country, says Gail Semak-Luman at the Council on Foreign Relations, because Afghan society has changed.
Two-thirds of the country is under 25. They have no recollection. These are young women, just like your daughters, your sisters, who grew up thinking they could be teachers, doctors.
Luman points out more than half of students admitted to one major Afghan university this year were women. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New Zealand, the Prime Minister today put the entire country, 5 million people, into a strict 3-day lockdown after a single person with a COVID-19 infection was found. The city of Auckland and another city will go 7 days as health officials there try to figure out where that infection came from. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.